If you want the best coverage from the farm system to the front office, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast, now on the Dub Network. Here are your hosts, Jeff and John.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 95, and today, Dave Raymond, the Texas Rangers play-by-play TV announcer, is going to join us. But first, we got to talk to about the big league team and what's going on with them.
Yeah.
And right now, quite honestly, it's not really good.
Yeah.
For the first time we're saying that.
Yeah, it's not great. They had the eight-game losing streak, which started that loss to the Angels, and then the home sweep by the Brewers, and then they go to Arizona and blew one on Monday to start off the road trip. Went to Minnesota, blew a couple. So it's not blew one in the finale against the Mets. So it was a 3-6 road trip. The bullpen took four of the losses, and
blew four saves.
Which is
blew five saves.
Blew a bunch of saves, which is kind of telling. I mean, this has been the problem all season. They thought they had addressed it with Aroldis Chapman and Chris Stratton, and for a while they had, but it's just not working out. And maybe they're tired. Maybe it's just one of those stretches. But the fact of the matter is that it's not good right now, and it's not solely the bullpen's fault. But
that's a big part of it.
It's a real big part of it, the Rangers aren't scoring 12 runs a game. The rotation's been okay, not as good as it was earlier in August, but a little bit. They're keeping them in ball games for the most part, and then it's up to the offense and the bullpen, and those two things aren't going very good right now.
There's a lot of. Right now. You talk about that with the bullpen, and I think they blew five saves in six games because they blew two in one night, where they blew a save, then they took the lead back again, and then blew the second.
They did that twice.
Twice, they did that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talk too about left field and trying to get left field ready for what they want to do. Jankowski's in a bit of a lull right now. Duran's unfortunately is being forced to play third base because Young's not back.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about this now. Evan Carter, this has been the hot topic everyone's talking about. Look, he started out hot at AAA.
Okay.
But this is where he needed to be. He needs to be in AAA, and he's got to prove something here. But you don't think, should he continue this, he's going to face Walker Buehler Sunday.
Okay.
Let's say he goes through this next 10 days and he hits about 380. With over 1,000 or 900 OPS, that's better than what they've got right now, possibly.
Yeah, but I don't know that you. I wouldn't call him up. I just wouldn't do it. I just, it's the last month of the season. He's had a good year. He had the injury that slowed him down in May, but he's been fine. The other when he's been healthy, I just don't think you throw him up. Throw him up. Are you convinced that he's going to be your starting center fielder or left fielder next year?
My personal feeling is he will break camp next year. If he's not breaking camp with the team, he's going to be there quick. That's what I would think.
Yeah.
Especially after the year he's had and he's ending at AAA. If he goes to the end of AAA the way he's hitting now, and let's just say he hits 280 at AAA with an 800 OPS, you got to think going into spring training, if he does what he did this spring training, he might be someone, unless they go sign somebody.
Yeah,
The Korean guy that's going to be, he's 25, he's killing it, Korea that's coming over as a free agent. He's an outfielder. Maybe you get a little bit more veteran there, but, and then you move Tavares to the fourth outfielder, something like that. But, where are they going to go? There's not big free agents coming up.
Yeah, I just don't, at some point the farm system has to produce to help equalize the payroll and all that stuff. But I don't know that in the last 30 games, 29 games, whatever they have left of the season, I don't know what a difference it is, what a difference Evan Carter would make. Take this guy who just turned 21. He would have barely seen any AAA pitching. And you're like, all right, go be our left fielder and get us to the postseason. Is that the situation you want to put a guy in? I don't know. I don't think so. I think that,
what if they look at it and think, we're trying to get to the postseason, we want to play in the postseason, and right now with everything we got, he may be the guy that's our best option in left field.
I don't know that he is. I just don't you know.
I've said he might be Jankowski when he gets here. I don't know. I mean, he's fast. He's a good defender. He's doing well. And obviously, I understand where the cries are for it because he has produced at every level, and he's producing now. I've also been – I know that the brass isn't excited to bring him up, but I think they would if it was the best option.
Yeah, you know, it just seems like a desperation move, and I don't think they're desperate. They're one game out.
Right.
They have the teams that are on their heels – well, the one team that's on their heels,
Toronto. I guess.
Toronto. They play Toronto this month. They play the Astros here probably by the time the video's out.
Right.
They have seven games left against the Mariners. I think if they just play well, if they solve their own problems, they're gonna be in it till the last week, and then the last week Josh Young might come back. You have Nathan Eovaldi who's still trying to come back. The team's gonna get better internally. If Evan Carter could throw 95, 98, and pitch the ninth inning, great. But I don't think that the glaring need on this team is a left fielder. And are you going to play,
He can't come up here and just be a platoon guy. He's got to come up here to play.
Okay, but, I don't know. I don't think that's their best move. I'd rather promote
Fabian.
Well, I don't know about that either. I'd rather promote, a Davis Wenzel and have him play third base and move Duran to left field.
Boy, Davis is another one.
He's not hitting for average, but he's hitting a ton of home runs.
Right.
If you're looking for a right-handed bat, which they are, Sam Huff needs to be on the team. And maybe he will be. Today's September 1st. Rosters are expanding.
Well, let's talk about that. What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, Brad Miller can come off the injured list. Great.
He's another left-handed bat.
Another left-handed hitter. I mean, really, and all – no, no –
You don't have any insight.
I don't have anything against Austin Hedges, but he's not serving the team well.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't do well if he catches he's taking up a roster spot and catching one or two innings a night or right. a week rather.
Right. Yeah. Know, right. And, he's late in games.
And if you want flexibility and if you want somebody who can hit, be a threat right-handed, then it could be Sam Huff. He could play first base. I mean, not that you want to take Nate Lowe out, but there's more utility with Sam Huff and more value. Sam Huff, and he's probably going to be the number two catcher next year. I don't anticipate that the Rangers are going to re-sign Mitch Garver, so it's going to be Sam Huff's turn.
And they're not going to extend Mitch Garver a qualifying offer.
No, they won't. He would jump on that like I'd jump on a cheeseburger.
Yeah,
I just think that they can address what's ailing them offensively without calling up Evan Carter. And I know it'd be exciting and fun and everything, but I just think it might be overwhelming to him too.
Okay,
Jeff
says no.
Yep.
So that when we're sitting here and you guys are all jumping down me because I have consistently said I don't think he's ready to come up, and that people want to know answers why. I've said, look, he hadn't even faced AAA pitching, and they said AAA are a bunch of spares, and I'm like, well, then why is it a promotion?
Yeah.
Why is it a promotion if it's just spares? Well, it's coming up. You're facing guys that are big. Walker Buehler is doing a rehab start. He's probably only going to face him once, maybe twice, because he's probably not going more than two or three innings.
Yeah.
But these guys are guys that are up and down in the major leagues in AAA, a step closer to going. You got people like Owen White, who could be maybe in a rotation somewhere, who's blocked here right now.
Yeah.
You got pitchers like that scattered all throughout AAA that Evan Carter's going to face. And I don't care what anyone says. It's better pitching in AAA. Than it is in AA.
It's different pitching. There's more junk. There's more breaking pitches and off speed pitches. Guys who know how to pitch a little bit better to the veteran guys. So it is different. And if it wasn't different, and they wanted to promote him, they wouldn't have sent him to AAA. Feel like AAA is a necessary step. And I don't disagree.
I think they've got him there to do the playoff run.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Because Frisco is going to make the playoffs.
No, Round Rock.
I mean, Round Rock is going to – Frisco. I've got Round Rock is going to make the playoffs. So I think that's wise there.
Well, maybe.
Okay, all right.
But also the Round Rock season doesn't end until the last week of the month. He's going to get more games there than if he'd stayed at Frisco because the Frisco season ends they play fewer games in Double A than Triple A.
Right.
So, you know, there are a lot of reasons for him to be there, but I think that promotion to the major leagues is not one of the primary reasons for him to be there. Immediate approach. And, you know, and you got to look at the Pacific Coast League is a hitter's paradise.
Right.
Numbers are drastically inflated there. And so, you know, if like you were saying, an 800 OPS in the Pacific Coast League is average. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, these guys are, you know, you go to places like Albuquerque and Reno or the ball flies. I mean, the ball flies in Round Rock because it's so goddamn hot. So, anyway, I don't foresee Evan Carter in the major leagues this year.
Okay. And that's fine. That's the thing to address. Now, we got to get back to what really needs to be addressed, and that has to go back to the bullpen and what they're going to do there. Who do you think they're going to close with? Is it Chapman?
It's got
to
be Chapman. He's their best option. I know he's
– You know someone else that got moved up to AAA is Matt Bush. Are they looking at him maybe
no.
by the
– No, Matt Bush doesn't have the velocity right now.
He's hitting 95, 96 is what
okay.
he's doing.
Okay. I wrote it on Friday in the farm last week. He was at Frisco because he lives in Frisco. He was moved up to AAA. The stuff wasn't as crisp as it needs to be. I mean, you know, he's throwing middle 90s, but
37
the pitches need to be, the off speed pitches weren't where they needed to be. Now, maybe he struck on something. I don't know, but I don't anticipate. You know, if you look at minor league pitchers, I don't think Matt Bush is at the top of the pecking order. I would think, you know, the guys on the 40 man, of course, are always going to have the inside track. Two names to keep in mind are Antoine Kelly, who's killing it at Frisco, and Danny Duffy,
who's at Frisco,
who asked to be moved from AAA to Frisco because he didn't think the automatic ball strike system was helping him.
Right.
And so, anyway, he should be healthy. He's a veteran guy. Shoot, I think he's a former All-Star.
Yeah.
You know, he was a starter, of course, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a crack at it. You know, I mean, they're gonna
keep mixing and doing what they can to get someone up.
Sure.
I mean, who do you think comes up today? So they're expanding. One pitcher's coming up.
Yeah. Well, since they didn't get anybody on the waiver deal there, if the Angels embarrassing themselves. I would think that it.
Now let me.
I don't know. It could be Cody Bradford,
who, by the way,
who's been the best of all those guys.
You know, he was supposed to start last night, and he was scratched.
Okay. All right.
So maybe that's it.
Yeah, maybe.
I literally predicted. I thought it might be what's his name coming off the IL
Miller
and Cody Bradford coming up and. Kind of to maybe piggyback off Eovaldi if they want to do something like that. That's kind of what I just said. And literally 15 minutes later, someone goes, you know, he was supposed to pitch tonight and they scratched him. I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, it makes a lot of sense just because he's been the best of all of them, like in the majors. He's been very good, obviously, at AAA, but he hasn't been intimidated. He's thrown strikes. He's challenged hitters. He's of all the pitchers who have been called up this year, he's been the best one. You know, Mark Church has pitched well. He's another guy who might be penalized by the automated ball and strike system. Spies has been a lot better.
I think this automated ball and strike thing is killing some guys.
Yeah, I think Cole Wynn, Owen White. Guys, what I was told, guys who like to work up in the strike zone, throw their fastball high, it's been tougher for them than other ones. So, anyway, I'm not making excuses, you know. It's not like Cole Wynn's walked
no
so many guys, but it makes a difference. And in the majors, I'm sure they have all kinds of data that say, oh, well, that's a strike, you know, X amount of times. And, you know, the problem – is that it changes the strike zone changes for every batter, and you can't see where it is, you know, and then is it when the guy steps in the batter's box standing vertically, or is it when he gets into his crouch? These pitchers are a little bit confused by it, and that's one of the reasons why Danny Duffy wanted to go back to Frisco where they don't have the ABS. And but anyway, to your point, to fill out this roster, it could be Bradford, it could be anybody on the 40, really, except for Grant Anderson and Jonathan Hernandez, because they still have to serve their 10 days since being optioned.
Right.
But it just because you call him up on September 1st doesn't mean he can't go back down.
Right.
So it can be a revolving door.
Sure.
You can get guys.
As long as they're on the 40, man, it's just real, and they've got options. It's an up-and-down thing. So Hernandez can come back. He just couldn't right now. I knew that. Well, it's why Cody might be perfect for that and all of that. But you know what? You brought this up. The Rangers did not get anybody on the waiver wire. I know they put claims in on them, but they were too far down the line.
Yeah.
The Astros, who I was worried the Astros were going to get Matt Moore, because they needed a left-hander out of the bullpen. They got nobody.
Yeah, I think the Rangers would have blocked them. You know, the Rangers were ahead of the Astros.
Oh, I thought it went from the day before when the Rangers were technically behind them.
I don't know. Well, whatever it is, the MLB trade rumors said that the Astros and the Mariners were behind the Rangers.
Okay.
Anyway,
but no, Cincinnati went in and revamped
Cincinnati
and Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland was first, and Cleveland took all the pitchers, and then. Cincinnati wanted some pitchers, but they ended up taking the two outfielders,
Renfro.
And, Dominic Leone got through to the Mariners, but the Rangers had him in spring training and saw him, I think, against the Angels. And they know what the book is on Dominic Leone. And Randall Grichuk, the other outfielder, he didn't get claimed by anybody. I don't know that he would have helped. Right-handed bat, though, but not having a great year and never lived up to the hype when he was a prospect. And then Mike Clevinger was another guy from the White Sox.
Yeah,
Carlos Carrasco,
who haven't been horrible, but haven't been fantastic.
Carrasco's been pretty bad, but
But Clevinger hasn't been horrible.
Right, but
he's just dealing with the off-field stuff, right?
I think that was cleared up, but anyway. Are you going to make a guy who's been a starter and who's been a fragile starter a reliever? I don't know. So anyway, the Angels, what a deal that was, to just go ahead and get rid of
Trout didn't want to stay there now.
A quarter of their roster. They went for it, which they should have never done.
Exactly.
That was their mistake.
They should have traded Ohtani.
They could have traded Ohtani, reloaded the major league roster, because they would have gotten major league players for him. They would have gotten minor league players for him. Instead, they make a trade for Lopez and Giolito, where they trade their number two and three prospects to the White Sox. They traded for Grichuk and Crone, and I don't think they gave away as much, but their farm system wasn't great to begin with, and now it's worse.
Yeah.
And then they just decided to punt. And it's not like they're saving a ton of money. It's kind of embarrassing. I mean, for them to do that in 1 month, they obviously have had an effect on the pennant races, because Cleveland. I've been on Monday this week before the news of these guys going on waivers hit. I'm pretty sure Cleveland wasn't gonna wasn't gonna try for it. They're five games back. They didn't have a lot of options, but hey, they're taking a chance at it now. So anyway.
And now let's,
but the Angels are just, it's just something new.
It's actually embarrassing. It's
something new every year with these guys, and
it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing to be a part of that organization right now with what they've done. And look, if you want to do it's obvious now, if you're not going into full rebuild mode right now, that's embarrassing what you did.
Yeah.
That's Art Moreno 101, because he's been an embarrassment pretty much as an owner. Yeah. In my opinion. That's my opinion. He's done some stupid things as his time as an owner.
I'll give Perry Manassian, the general manager, kind of a pass here, because, again,
he answers to Moreno.
I don't think that he – I don't know this personally, but I don't know that he wanted to go for it at the trade deadline. This might be his way of trying to undo some of the wrong that was done. I mean, you're getting rid of these guys – who you probably didn't want back next year, at least not at, I think Matt Moore has another year on his contract.
Right.
You probably didn't want him back at that price. So you're clearing six spots on the 40 man.
Right.
You're going to call up six people from the minor leagues. I think one guy had to come off the 60-day IL. But
and that's what this is.
If you're going to, you know, you're going to rehearse, do rehearsals for the last month, you know, and you can kiss Ohtani's ass, you know, and on his way out the door,
he ain't coming back.
I don't think so. And
I don't care. The money would have to be double what everyone else is. I think in his mind, he's done.
Well, you know, and here's the thing. You know, he had Tommy John surgery right when he came over. He was hurt with the Angels. You know, now 4 or 5 years later, he's having Tommy John again.
Right.
Now, I mean, the Angels didn't perform the procedure, but they helped him rehab it.
Right.
Does he trust their medical staff? So I don't know. I just don't see him coming back. I didn't see him coming back before, and now I really don't. And then you brought up Mike Trout.
Who's got to be pissed.
Why does Mike Trout stay there? I know he's a loyal guy.
Because he's making $45 million a year.
There's no pressure, I know, but you know, and he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would demand to be traded, but man, he is Mike Trout. And I know he's been hurt the last couple of years.
Was he playing one playoff game or something?
He's hurt now. He's played in one playoff series. He went 0-12. I think it wasn't a great performance.
Maybe it's when he was young, though. It was right when he got
sure, up. But still,
you know, Evan Carter.
It was against the Royals.
Yeah,
yeah, not Evan Carter. No. So anyway, he if I were him, I'd get the hell out. You know, he doesn't.
But Moreno's going to have to eat almost a ton of that contract.
That's fine.
But you know what? If he is willing to eat a ton of that contract, he could get some good prospects back.
If he eats the contract, it makes it more appealing for a potential buyer, and he's flirted with selling the team. The season's been a joke for them. I know they were good for a little while, but if he wanted to clear overhead, that's one way to do it.
Yep.
You know, and you know the Rendon thing's nothing you can do about that. He's mailed it in.
Yep.
Got his contract. Doesn't care. I talked to a reporter, an Angels reporter, who said that he's never seen anybody care less about his job than Anthony Rendon. And I was like, what? That's crazy. But he's got his payday. They're a joke. The good news is the Rangers play him again, part of that last week road trip that opens.
They're gonna be playing against a bunch of AAA guys is what they're gonna be playing. Mike Trout. Or is he on the IL again?
He's hurt again. I think, you know, that Hammett bone is tough, man.
That's
it's tough to come back from quick. I mean, Delino DeShields, that's an example, not that he's an offensive juggernaut, but he was hurt early in that season. And, 18, 19, tried to come back, and his hand just hurt the whole year.
Yeah.
And you know, if Mike Trout's hurting, it's not like it's a playoff race. So,
right.
You know,
well,
get it right. Don't hurt yourself anymore.
Okay, so I got all confused this week with what this was. And all of a sudden, the epiphany hit, and I remembered how this thing works. So what this was in my brain when the Angels did this, my brain went to they just DFA'd five guys. It wasn't DFA'd. In the old system, during the month of August, you would put guys on waivers, they would clear waivers, and you were free to trade them after they cleared. So once these guys who were not claimed off of waivers, they immediately went back to their team.
Yeah.
And in my brain, I was thinking this as early as 2 days ago. I was going, okay, I'm confused. If they clear waivers, aren't they free agents? No, they're going back to the team they're on. And then if the team wants to get rid of them beyond that, then they have to DFA them.
Yeah, they have it used to be revocable waivers.
Right.
And this
they used to could pull them back if a deal wasn't.
Right. This is fairly new. There used to be an August 31st trade deadline.
Yes, absolutely.
And it called the waiver deadline. You know, the July 31st is the non-waiver trade deadline. This was the waiver trade deadline.
And teams would put half their roster through.
Yeah, oh yeah. Anybody with a big salary, you know, it was not a surprise to see a huge name on the waiver wire.
And then they would get claimed by somebody.
But they would have to get claimed, and that team would have to take on the whole contract.
Or they'd have to trade.
Could clear, and then
they were free to be traded.
They were free to be traded. You know, the Rangers, they did that a couple times. That's how they got Pudge Rodriguez back in 2009, and then Jeff Francoeur the next year.
Yep.
They got him on August 31st, and he was a pretty good contributor for them in that month and then in the postseason. So, right. Anyway, crazy times in baseball, but the Rangers have, you know, this is what they got.
Yep. And they're going with what they have. They can look. They somebody can be DFA'd by another team. The Rangers can sign them to a minor league deal, bring them in, but they're not eligible for the postseason.
Yep.
But maybe they help them get to the postseason.
Possible.
Maybe an arm. The only way I see it being possible, maybe some arm that could help them get to the postseason. Where in the postseason, some of your back end starters could end up doing some bullpen work during the postseason anyway. Listen, before we get out, we're going to go to Dave here in just a second. Want to give a shout out to Michael Kennison. He's a follower of you and me, big follower. He's been dealing with health issues, all of that. He has finally been cleared. He doesn't live in Dallas, but him and his significant other have finally been cleared. He's going to be at the game tonight.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to go down and say hello to him. But he is going on a cruise, but I think COVID, he was so compromised that COVID really had him stay in. He had some issues with the brain. I know that. And, you know, that's near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
But he's out about. They left yesterday. They were they were texting all about it and all of that. I found out he's going to be there tonight. Get to see Max Scherzer.
There you go.
Which is fantastic. I'm going to run down and say hello. Safe travels, Mike. It's good for us to see that you're getting out here. And getting out and about. Can't wait to meet you tonight in person. But good travels for them. Now, let's go to Dave Raymond.
Yes.
And get it going. All right, guys. Dave Raymond after this. Today's guest segment is brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders. Jeff, what's going on in Frisco?
It's a big weekend in Frisco, John. It's their 20th anniversary celebration weekend. Tonight, Friday night, September the 1st, the giveaway is a Chris Young and Josh Young dual bobblehead. Both former Frisco players. And then tomorrow, we have the 20th anniversary poster giveaway and the alumni autograph session, which is going to feature Ian Kinsler, Derek Holland, Chris Davis, and Tanner Sheppers. Sunday, the Dream Team card set giveaway. You can read about the Dream Team at Rangers at rangerstoday.com. Also Sunday, big old fireworks show. Friday, big old fireworks show. Monday, Labor Day, post-game fireworks. And then the Rough Riders are home next week, too. They're home until September 10th, which is Fan Appreciation Night. So be sure to check out the Rough Riders at milb.com/Frisco.
All right, guys, and joining us right now from his home, where he's back home and getting ready for tonight's game and opening night for the Minnesota Twins. In town, it's Texas Rangers play-by-play guy Dave Raymond, and I blame him because this 8-game losing streak started when he went on a little sabbatical there for a couple of games. Dave, what's going on, man?
Yeah, well, we're just trying to dig out from it, John. That's all. I mean, it's just going to take me a little time to get things righted again. So,
or the guys disappointed you abandoned them in their time of need?
Yeah, right.
Relationship.
Hey, here's the good news, man. The good news is they're home. So,
good.
maybe that will turn things around.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I mean, it's September 1st. It's officially the stretch run, I guess. Did you expect this team to be there when you saw them in the end of spring training?
So this is the conversation, right, that we all keep having, which is the expectations going back to spring versus where we are now. And would we take this, of course, if we were offered this back in March or February? And the answer, of course, is yeah, we would have taken this. A game out, into the last month of the season? Sure. But, realistically, they're, let's face it, right? The trajectory is not a good one right now. So, yeah, did I expect this? No, I don't think I did. I mean, I don't know that I expected them to be number one, let's just say a game out, right, going into September. That would have been a tall ask, I think. And maybe more importantly, and I think the bigger question is, did you expect them to be bouncing around 20 games over 500 at this point of the season? Forget games out in the division and that sort of thing. Was this a team that was going to play 20 plus games better than 500 this year? And I just think, again, if you look historically at how teams build and how they move forward, and is it possible to improve X number of wins per year, you would say, yeah, I guess it's possible that they could be playing at this level. Is it likely? No, it's just not. Statistically, it's just not likely that this team would be 20 games roughly over 500 for the better part of August and now into September. So, no, I didn't expect this. But that said, here we are, and they are in a position where they you know, I think their expectations should be higher at this point. And so that's the real key now and the real question.
Yeah. Did your camera just turn off?
Yep. So let's pause for just a second. I got to change something.
It's just me and John. Our
No tech?
No, he's he had a well, we're at a different studio than when you came, and so he got a job. But he still puts it together for us, but we're our own crew here.
Well, what happened to the old studio situation?
They decided that they wanted to change our agreement and charge us a lot more money and not pay me. So it was a pretty easy decision.
Yeah. We built one here at the house. All right, I'm gonna clap again. I don't know what shut it off. Maybe I didn't even record that first part. That's all right. We'll wing it.
All right.
So yes. Go ahead.
This is where they are. I mean, they're better than I thought they'd be. I thought they'd be about 500. I wasn't sure if the young guys, the supporting cast would come through or repeat what they did last year in the case of Lowe and I guess Adolis to a degree. But what is this a tired team right now? How do you see them as they sit right now? Do they look tired to you?
Well, I do think that's a thing, right? I think that's a concern. At the beginning of every year, it's so common that to look at the roster and you're in spring training, you're thinking, geez, you know, if this guy is who we think he is, and if this guy is who we think he is, I like this team. I think this team could be pretty good. I think most teams at the end of spring training, you look at it, you think, well, we can compete. This team could compete. But the question is always, well, what do you have behind that? Well, you know, what's lurking once somebody gets hurt or fatigued or whatever? Like, what kind of depth do you have? And so you get to this time of year and guys are tired. I was starting to ask questions in May. You know, Josh Jung has never played 90 games in a season ever.
Right.
You know, what about this pitching staff, guys who did not log that many innings last year? Is there a concern about workload, you know, as you build it up year over year, or do you just throw them all in there? And the answers were generally like, we're not concerned, right? I mean, these guys are veteran guys. They've been through the wars. They know what it's like. They know how to handle themselves, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Well, I do think if you look at it right now, that you see some performances and some body language that says, I'm tired or I'm hurt. Jonah Heim's obviously not playing at 100% right now.
Absolutely.
Corey Seager, this is the craziest part to me, is Corey Seager is not playing at 100%. I mean, the guy's got a severely banged up thumb. And I think there's pain there from time to time. But I'll be darned if he isn't contributing in a massive way. I mean, he's one of the best hitters right now going. So he can get through it. But there's fatigue there. What I'll tell you another thing that stands out to me, Ezekiel Duran, he's been so good this year. Has it gone through occasional stretches? And he just recently came out of a stretch where, you know, he was struggling. Well, he's out of it now. He's hitting again and he's producing. But you know what I don't see right now from Zeke is the power. Now, I don't know why that is. I don't know if that's legs. I don't know if that's fatigue. It could be any number of things. It could just be chance. But I'm not seeing the same power that I saw from Zeke earlier in the year. So, I think there's fatigue there. And obviously, your depth or lack thereof at certain spots gets exposed when a guy like Josh Jung gets hurt. That is a massive loss for this team. And we can look at it from the standpoint of, well, geez, could we have really expected a Rookie of the Year campaign from Josh Jung and, you know, 25, 30 home runs and high average and gold glove defense? I don't think that was what we were writing in as the year began. But doggone it, if that's not who he is. Yeah. I mean, that's who he is. And I think he gave some energy to that team. So losing him just turns out to be a bigger loss than you would have anticipated at the beginning of the year. And I just think that's where they are. So, I absolutely think there's fatigue. Look at Evaldi, right? I mean, Evaldi was a Cy Young candidate through the All-Star break.
Yep.
But we haven't been able to get him on the mound here in the second half. So, I mean, there's definitely a fatigue issue and just an attrition issue right now with injury. So that's a big part of it.
Yeah, the Young injury has turned out to be huge, and it's compounded because Heim can't bat right-handed. I think they're short a right-handed bat, and you know, you look at the bench, and Austin Hedges is a great guy, can't hit. That's fair to say. I don't know that, you know, if you're looking at ways for them to solve what's ailing them right now, they do have a couple options. You know, Sam Huff has got to be a better option offensively for sure than Austin Hedges. And, you know, and then what are you going to do with Brad Miller? You know, is he just going to ride out
the left-hander, by the way?
Yeah. Is he just going to ride out the year on the injured list? And could you call up one of these right-handed hitters that's killing it at AAA and see if that helps, you know? But Josh Young, that's you talk about, they got through Corey Seager twice, but they can't get through Josh Young. You know, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's huge, and it speaks to what a season the guy is having. And so you're really happy for him, and it was obviously huge for the Rangers to be able to get that kind of production from Josh. But it's been a very, very tough spot to fill, because it isn't just the offense. You know, Zeke took a downturn at the wrong time, right when he was needed to fill there, whereas he was really hitting well when Corey went down. But defensively, I mean, there's a drop-off. There's just a drop-off without Josh there. And man, can you feel it? I mean, it's a big difference. You look at the percentage of balls that are actually hit to third base over the course of an average major league season. It's not a very high number, but it's a critical number because it's usually hit pretty hard. And obviously he had done a terrific job there. Yeah, it's a big deal. As far as right-handed bats go, I was thinking about this, right, when I saw Randall Grichuk gets through waivers.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, wait a minute. We couldn't use Randall Grichuk? I looked at the numbers, and, you know, he's really struggled lately. Now, I don't know that that's a reason to avoid him. There may be financial issues. Who knows? It's not my job, but, you know, there was a reason why they let him go. I will say this, too. You look at the record against left-handed pitching, or left-handed starters anyway, this team has done well. So maybe, I do think off the bench, to your point though, there is a real need. And maybe Sam Huff is a guy that comes up here for the month of September and gives him a little bit of that pop from the right side.
You know, like historically speaking, under the previous regime, with John Daniels, who has his fingerprints all over this team and has probably helped shape some of Chris Young's thinking, the bench John Daniels always how often do you use the bench? Well, I think you use it more and more these days. But like, you know, the World Series team, the 2011 World Series, you can say what you want about how it ended and all this. Rangers had a shitty bench. And, you know, and you had to play National League rules at one point. And so it was a big deal. And I think Bochy likes to use the bench. And he has some.
He has
NL in him. That's been his entire managerial experience has been National League, and you got to have a good bench, and especially if you got guys wearing down. I think Adolis Garcia is the one who's is fatiguing the most.
Yeah, I think it is fatigue with him. He's chasing that high pitch that he can't seem to lay off of, and then all of a sudden a couple at bats he will seem to finally get it there. Sure. But sometimes you can tell in the first pitch of the at bat. This may be one where he's going to start. If they stay up on him, he's just going to go chasing after it. I mean, you can see it in the at bat. And then the next at bat, it's a whole different approach. So people are getting in his ear.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he. I think he's exhausted.
And he's taken some pitches off the hand.
Oh, yeah. Took one off the thigh the other night, wasn't it?
Yeah, his thigh is going to be okay. But he's taken some pitches off his hands.
I asked Dave this. Who's closing now? I mean, that's the question a lot of Ranger fans got. I mean, is Chapman the closer now? What is Boach doing now? I mean, it's just a trust issue right now. And I don't know. I mean, he's running out people you would expect him to run out.
I'm getting a call, John.
I've got to go. I don't think I can answer this question. who closes?
And it's a shame because they have about three or four guys on this team who legitimately you could see were probably someone they thought were going to close this year. Hernandez, maybe Leclerc, you thought maybe he was going to come back and be what he was. You obviously, when you got Chapman, thought this could be a guy, eventually we'll just slide him right there. Will Smith did a great job, but I think we all realize he's really not the closer he used to be, you know, and he was been out there, but nobody has stepped up. This job's open for someone to step up and take it.
Yeah, the job's open. It's a tough gig, obviously. Sure. But you just look at the evolution this year, right? Like you say, Leclerc and Hernandez, that was the plan going in. Those two would handle the last two innings somehow. Okay, well, and then quickly we find out, well, that's just not working for whatever reasons. Let's look for other options. Smith comes in and he really stabilized it. Now,
yes,
part of it,
yes.
I felt like as we were getting, I don't know, it must have been toward the trade deadline. It was well before the All-Star break. And I was just thinking about, okay, well, what are the needs going to be this year for this team when we get to that point? How are they going to address it? And you could look at the bullpen, and occasionally I'd ask questions about it, and I'd get a response, a little maybe defensive at times, about, well, look at the numbers. I mean, they put up good numbers. Okay, all right, great. Like, at the same time, I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, I don't think this is a championship bullpen, right? I mean, I'm just – instinctually. Now, I don't know. I'm a broadcaster. I don't construct teams. It's not my job.
Yep.
But from the outside, I was thinking there might be some needs to address here. I don't know. And my concern, I thought, well, the numbers are good, right? And and some guys have performed well. And even Will Smith, for the most part there in the first half of the season, he was handling the closer's job well. Here was the problem. My concern at the time was, that's great, it's working now. And partly because you're scoring 15 runs a game, and partly because you only need him to close twice a week, maybe he was closing twice a week. Okay, well, under those conditions, works pretty well. What happens when you need him 3 out of 4 games, 5 out of 7 games? What happens when somebody else gets hurt or falters a little bit or is starting to feel a little fatigued or whatever? I mean, Smith is toward the backside of his career. He's not a power pitcher to begin with. So those things might be concerns eventually. You know, you had to have some concerns about Aroldis Chapman in recent years and his record. There were signs, right, that he wasn't the same guy. And I think we've seen it here recently when he's come out a little more frequently. When his first fastballs are 96 miles per hour, I'm on high alert. I'm like, well, that's not – now, Aroldis Chapman at his best, forget about it, right?
Right.
He's outstanding. Right. Can I run him out there 4 to 5 times a week and expect that same thing every time? I think the returns right now say maybe not, right? Maybe you need more options there. So I think fatigue, because those two guys maybe are toward the latter stages of their career, maybe that's part of it. I don't know. But the other part of the problem is that the backfilling there behind them hasn't worked out. Spores gets hot on occasion. It's great. Yep. When he's great, he's as good as anybody.
Yeah.
But when it gets away from him, he struggles. Same with Leclerc. The high pressure moments sometimes don't seem to agree with him. So it's not easy, man. The bullpen's a fickle animal. When you get a top end closer who's just consistently locked down, man, you got to hold on for dear life, because those guys are becoming way more valuable today, in my estimation, than maybe they've ever been. And they've been highly valued, I think, in the last couple of decades. But I think in today's game, I think it's even greater. And partly because, to your point, Jeff, the bench usage, right? The way teams, man, everybody platoon advantages the heck out of every game from start to finish. And they're prepared for your closer and your setup man. So you better have a guy who's really, really good and can handle both sides. That's
exactly,
in my humble opinion.
Yeah. I think you were standing around Scherzer. One of his first days with the team, I think it was the first day we got him at the locker, and he was talking about how he thinks the starting pitcher has been devalued and how he wants to incentivize. It's really fascinating. Incentivize teams that use starters. But in doing that, your bullpen becomes more overworked. I'm not, the Rangers don't seem to be devaluing their starters, but they do have starters that they definitely say, all right, 85 pitches, that's it.
Right.
And
Heaney.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, if Valdi comes back without a rehab assignment, it's going to be
Same thing. He's going
to
be
somebody's going to have to piggyback, and if the piggybacker's crap, then it's going to be another bullpen load at a time where the bullpen doesn't need to be working a heavy.
Well, but let me ask you guys this about Valdi, right? Well, why not? And we haven't gotten any clarification on this, what the plan is when he comes back. I mean, they continue to slow play these bullpens, and that's fine. I mean, obviously, when you have him back, you want him to be healthy, and you're hoping for more than just these next 4 weeks, right? You're looking at, potentially a postseason run. So, so you got to make sure he's right. But given the bullpen struggles and the way you start thinking about shaping a postseason run, isn't his big right-handed arm and just competitive edge and everything else about him, would they maybe be better served to think of him as a bullpen guy and work? Number one, you don't have to get the same kind of length, but number two, he's got that experience on the bigs. I mean, in the biggest of stages where he's been so clutch out of the bullpen in the postseason. He seems like kind of the real perfect and energetic build into that bullpen for me. I don't know what their plan is, but
it's pretty interesting.
It seems like where I'd start.
That's interesting. I mean, okay. Are you concerned about the injury? You know,
How
often would he be able to pitch?
Yeah, that's the deal. Could you run him out consecutive days, or is he a guy that needs to have a couple days off in between?
Probably. I mean, but would you pitch him? Let's say Scherzer starts and gives you 7 and it's 3-1.
Bring him in to go.
Have him close it out, right? But then when can he pitch again?
Yeah. Can he go short a rest? Can he go 3 days later instead of waiting 4 or 5?
Well, I like it, Dave.
Like obviously very good questions, right? And something that somebody with a little more expertise and whatnot would have to figure out. Although I will say this too, right? Once you get to the postseason, with the way the TV schedule works out now and the off days that are built in there, it might make it more feasible, right? That you wouldn't necessarily have to pitch him on consecutive days as often as you might otherwise have to. But for the interim, these 4 weeks, you might have to be careful and maybe dodge some spots here and there. I don't know. I mean, it's crossed my mind more than once. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. These guys play catch every day. These pitchers
play
catch every day. They throw off a flat ground every day. Some of them will go and throw 10 pitches off the mound, not hard, before a game. I mean, these guys are throwing all the time. So he could do it. I mean, he threw his bullpen. On the last homestand, he threw a bullpen. Next day, I saw him throw off a flat ground. He was not taking it easy. So, I mean, these guys have it. It's just
– yeah.
When's the last time he threw? Did he not throw day before yesterday, before
he threw in Minnesota, right? And then his side got side
tightness. It wasn't the arm, it was the side.
Yeah. Right. And I know as it was last left, I believe he was throwing today. I think a bullpen today. And that being Friday, here at the start of this homestand. So and I can't remember you get so crossed up over the days, right? Whether this was a heavy bullpen or whatever. I want to say today's supposed to be kind of a big day, this Friday, kind of a bigger bullpen for him. So, I don't know. We'll see if he's out there.
And they'll probably sit him down, get him up, kind of do that thing.
Simulate.
But the big thing is, how is he the next day? That's always what they're looking for. How do you feel the next day after you've done that?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you normally feel after you've started a game?
Well, I think if he hadn't had that tightness, he would have been starting.
Absolutely.
This homestand.
Yeah. I think so,
too. Maybe this weekend.
And it's just precautionary. It's like, we've already got you there. It's
okay, but it's precautionary. So does he throw a bullpen? Does he have to throw another one? You know, is this like his start day? And then he'll throw a bullpen on Sunday and then start
against the Astros,
maybe?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know, Dave. What do you got?
Maybe. You need to answer those questions for us.
I'll say it's all on the table.
Do not make your phone ring right now.
Yeah. It's all on the table, right? I think.
Sure.
Look, they're not trying to duck him. I mean, they want him, but they don't want to get him hurt. Right. And
absolutely.
John, like you said, it wasn't his, you know, it's not so much how the bullpen goes. It's how he feels the next day. After he threw that bullpen in Minnesota, bullpen went great. He looked great. Ball was coming out of the hand. Everything was great. Afterwards, this is fantastic. I feel wonderful. the next morning, ouch, right? Just not ouch, even just like, uh-oh, there's a little tightness here. So so they back off a little bit. And that's right. It's smart, right? I mean, he's because he really, we have no idea how these last 30 days are going to play out. And that's what's wonderful and exciting about this whole thing.
Exactly.
No clue, right? This could be the most amazing story written in a long time. and he may be the guy who gallantly is carrying everybody on his shoulders into town. Yeah. That may be how it plays out. And it might well be that waiting and being patient right there in Minnesota when he felt that little twinge in his side was the key to the whole thing. So yeah, who knows?
Might be the difference.
Never know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The one non-baseball question, it's a baseball question, but how has your job changed with the pitch clock? Are you was it tough at first? I mean, now you've probably got your rhythm, but
yeah.
It's late in the season. You better have your rhythm by now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. I would say just like the players, I'm shocked at how quickly and easily we all make the transition. It's just the first couple of games, spring training games, and then regular season games. There might even be an umpire pointing something out or something like, oh, wow, yeah, that's this thing or that thing. And you kind of get a little locked up and you're trying to sort it out. And the pacing really wasn't too much of an issue. I don't think even from day one, but now I feel really comfortable with it. And that didn't take, but maybe a week. And I'm baffled that it took this long for us to get here. Right. There's so many things. There's so many things I look back on now in retrospect that just blow my mind. I'm like, We played outside in this town day after day in this heat? Really? Yeah. How did we do that? and then the pitch clock stuff. We used to play without this thing. Why? What were we thinking? Because this is, the players don't even – we had the moment. We did have that moment, right, in Minnesota where Chapman wasn't aware of that first disengagement thanks to the catcher timeout. So it does pop up still, but – but I mean, it's so rare that anybody gets caught or feels, somehow confined by it. I just think everybody's cool with it. Except as you point out, Jeff, Scherzer still won't let it go, right? He loves to talk about it. He hates all these new rules,
which
is great. He's wonderful.
Okay, yeah. I've got my non-baseball question. Right. I've got to ask too, because we already learned all about Dave last time when we had him on. Okay, it's been hot, hot, hot. Did that affect the elderberries or what happened this year?
Yeah, I was going to set up today's Zoom with the elderberry bushes behind us, but this breaks my heart, John. They're dead.
Oh, no.
They're dead. I got no harvest this year at all. They burn up really badly. It's not the type of plant that you generally domesticate. So, they're usually on ditch banks or whatever, near railroad tracks, that kind of thing. But I thought, I wanted to have my own and cultivate them and really whatever. And it's hard. It's hard because I don't know exactly what makes it work or not work. It's like a weed. I mean, most places you just can't get rid of it when they show up. And it's still as much death as I've dealt with this summer. There's still little shoots that keep coming up, little suckers, which is great. It means that at least underneath there, it's still got some life.
So maybe it'll come back. Yeah.
It should. But man, no harvest this year and just devastating disease and death out there. I don't know. And I don't even know. Like, there could have been some critter, that got in there. I just don't know if it was all heat, if it was pestilence. So it kind of makes me crazy right now. I'm always researching it and trying to figure it out. Yeah.
So we had, you said critters. We've noticed the last couple months there was a cat who would hang out in our flower bed and would kind of eat our flowers. All right. My wife is like, well, how do we get it out of there?
BB gun.
We're not going to shoot a cat.
Just a BB gun. It's
a black cat, too. I don't want to screw up with the thing. So anyway, I'm out last night doing some crap in our yard. There's three damn kittens. So the mama was hungry. She was eating whatever she could. Okay, we got.
But congratulations!
Apparently, we have a feral cat population in our little neighborhood, and
they taste like chicken.
They gotta go there.
John, no,
they won't. No. But they won't. The kittens won't come near us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I want to feed them. You know, I want to help them out, but that's going to, that would just lead to a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't do that.
I tell you what, my, you know, my family has a farm. I do hunt. So I made the joke, but I like to go hunting. I'm not a big hunter, but we have land. So I do it, but they have a big barn out there and they keep feral cats around the barn. They throw some feed out for the cats to keep them, but it keep helps keep rats and stuff away. Yeah. And out there on a farm, you know, when you have a big, you see about a 5 foot, bull snake or whatever out there, they say don't touch the snake, you leave the snake alone, he eats rats, he eats all of that, and the thing will scare you to death when you're, you know, sometimes it's easier to step out on the porch in the middle of the night if you got to go to the bathroom than try to, but those things are big. I mean, they're big, but they, you leave those feral cats and the snakes alone in a farm, they run
leave the all of it alone, right? It's yep. It's a whole ecosystem, it all works together. So possums. You gotta yeah
possums are great, they're the nastiest looking things in the world, but when I catch one around my house, I put him back out over the fence. I'm like, you can hang out in the, because they eat rats. They eat a lot of the, a lot of the critters that get around your house and all of that. Man, possums are good.
Well,
they take care of a lot of the insects and all of that. And they're not aggressive. They look it, but they're not aggressive. Yeah. They play dead. They freak out when you get near them. My dogs would love to drag them everywhere, but man, possums aren't bad. They just look like a big old huge rat. That's the
they're
problem.
Creepy. Yeah, yeah, they're really horrible. Creepy. Yeah, I dislike them.
Well, all right. I'll keep that in mind next time I see a possum. Right. No, no. He's going to take care of our snake problem that we don't have.
John said you have to keep it right yeah. there, and then they'll take care of it. Anything else for Dave?
No, let's let him go.
Let's let him go. We're going to see him out there tonight. Right. The audio version, Dave, will be out tonight. That'll be out okay. before game time. So everything we've said today matters. Now the video will come out, and we'll already be through the weekend probably.
No, I've got to go over to TCU tomorrow, so I'll be able to get it to Joel if you can get it to me tonight.
Yeah, we'll have it ready for tonight. That'll be good. We'll see you here in a couple hours out at the ball.
All right. Thanks, fellas. Have a good one.
All right, that's appreciate Dave Raymond, play-by-play for the Texas Rangers. Guys, right after this, we're going to go down in the bus leagues. Big thanks to Dave Raymond for joining us right there. It's time now, guys. We're going to go down in the bus leagues.
All right.
Right now, we'll talk about each team. I had a deep dive. Let's go down further. DSL, I believe they're done in the DSL. Is that right? They're doing playoffs down there in the DSL.
Okay.
The Rangers, they have two teams down there. One team went 30-25. The other was 19-36. Not bad. Anybody's?
You know, it...
a lot of young.
Right. And there's some of the ones who aren't younger are guys who, you know, $20,000 signees at age 19 or 20. You know, right. they're it's such a, it's kind of a, I mean, a crapshoot. I guess that's a good way to say it. I mean, you're down there signing guys. Obviously, there are the big name guys who go to the, who you know, who have the Buscones, who are trained and teams recognize who they
it's
are.
A Buscone.
Like a trainer.
Okay. All right.
And I think they find that term derogatory, actually, but that's kind of the term in baseball, just to call them Busconis. And anyway, you know, and then you hit on like a $10,000 signee, you know. I mean, Emiliano Teodo was a $10,000 signee, and he's
throwing 101 miles an hour.
Right. You know, sometimes they have to switch a position or do something and you know, you spend $10,000 on them and figure out what you get, figure out what you've got. And so in addition to, you know, the players like Pedro Guerrero, is Pablo Guerrero.
Who is Vlad's little brother.
And, you know, who signed for a little bit more. He didn't sign for a ton, but.
Like $100,000, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Sebastian Walcott, who was there, who signed for $3 million, moved on because, as we've discussed previously, some cultural things that he was better served in the United States. But so you do have some big dollar signees. I mean, that's where Ronald Guzman and Nomar Mazara got their start. So anyway, it's a crapshoot down there. But
I think
the Rangers have some good talent.
Yeah. Arizona Complex League, they're 22-33. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They lost a couple. Walcott, they might be finishing up too there.
And yeah, they don't play forever. I mean, it's September 1st, and you know they have a one game semifinal, and then
right,
I mean, it's a short playoff.
And if Walcott's done, I don't know that the Rangers made. They had a losing record there. He finished with a .253 average. He had 7 home runs and .826 OPS for a 17-year-old.
Yeah, and you know, just because they're done doesn't mean he's done. He could definitely go to, yes, that, you know, Instructs is going to start here.
He could get promoted
in a couple weeks, but he could go to Down East to finish out the year. And same thing with Chedry Vargas, who's had a phenomenal.
Didn't he get promoted already?
Did he? Okay.
Good. He got promoted.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Yeah, he's been good. There.
And I think he's second in the league in home runs. And, you know, you've seen some of the draftees start there. And Wyatt Langford started in the Arizona Complex Leagues for a few games. And
right.
So, anyway, there's young talent there, and it turns over pretty quick as guys come in and out from the draft. But, sure. Anyway.
Now, Down East is 26-30. 5-5 in their last 10. They've lost one. Obviously, a couple guys just got promoted out of there. Aiden Curry just got promoted to Hickory.
Well, he deserves it.
Yeah, he's had a great year. Porter's still there. Probably going to be headlining that. They won the first half.
They're going to the playoffs.
So I'm sure Porter's going to be their opening night starter for playoffs.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's, you know, workload management still, if you will, to borrow that terrible term from the NBA, but so it's a thing, you know. They don't want him to get past 100 innings, and he's been pitching well, and when they've had him, so
he might be their best pitching prospect right now.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, considering who's hurt and who's
It has to do with injuries and who's playing. Yeah, sure. He might be their best healthy pitching prospect right now.
I mean, I think he's a top 100 prospect in a couple of those industry lists. So I think you're.
When do the playoffs start? Are they getting ready to go?
Yeah, they let's see. Frisco ends the 17th, I think, and the 2A clubs finish, I think, the week before.
Okay,
so
they probably got 1 week left.
It's getting close.
Okay, all right. Let's go to Hickory. They're 36-20, 5-5 in their last 10. They won one. A couple guys moved up to there. Of course, Abby Ortiz is still there. Who's just 30 home runs,
jeez,
hitting over 300. It's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, and in this system, first base is a detriment. There's not a standout first baseman anywhere in this organization.
Correct.
Abby, there is an opening there if he can continue this and take it up to the next level. I'm sure he's going to stay there. Frisco is not going to make the playoffs, I don't think.
No.
So there's no point in bringing – they're not going to bring him to AAA, although he is 22.
Yeah. That's – no. He did spend, I think, a year at junior college. Signed as an undrafted, non-drafted free agent, you know. So good for him. You know, you sent me a text last night about Wyatt Langford, who was pulled on – Wednesday.
He was pulled Wednesday. Today's Friday. Wednesday night, he was pulled late in the game, which you wondered if it's because they were killing somebody, out of the lineup last night.
Yeah, workload management.
Workload management.
That's what I was told. You know, this guy had a he long played season. A full college season.
Into the College World Series.
Played from February to June. Not every day, obviously, but probably every weekend day and once during the week. So four times a week. The College World Series ends, he shuts it down for the draft, takes a while to get signed, all that, and then he has to go back and build up. You know, this is a guy who's never had 500 at-bats.
Right.
You know, there's no need to run him out every day. So he's not getting promoted, at least not yet.
Nope.
I wouldn't surprise me at all if that last week in of the Frisco season, or even, I mean, it could even happen next week. If he gets called up and spends the last week or 10 days with him. That's what they did with Evan Carter last year. Of course, that team made the postseason. But,
right. But
I think they could call him up at some point, but they're not doing it like imminently.
Okay, so call him up to a team that's not going to make the playoffs.
Let him play 2 weeks.
And then shut him down.
Sure.
Shut him down. No chance maybe he goes to AAA to go to the playoffs with them?
I don't think so. No. That's a lot to ask. You know, you look at Dylan Cruz, who was the first overall pick. He's been promoted to AA and is doing fine. And then the pitcher, or I guess Skeens was the first overall pick. Cruz went second. And the pitcher, Skeens, they call him up to AA. The Pirates did, and he didn't get out of the first inning.
Yep.
So it's
great.
It's something. But, you know, give him a taste of it because I'm sure that's where he's going to be next year.
Oh, absolutely. There's no point in going back to A-ball next year. So. No. Yep, and he doesn't need to stay and go through the playoff run unless maybe their ultimate goal is they do let him. I imagine he's somebody that we'll see in instructionals or at least AFL, you think?
I don't think he'd do the falling. He doesn't need to play anymore. He's had a good good. He got a ton of at-bats at Florida.
Don't want to get him injured.
He's going to get a lot of at-bats here. Just let him rest. Let him get into the weight, you know, the weight program and off-season, learn what an off-season looks like, and go from there.
Okay, Frisco's 29-25. They're 6-4 in their last 10. They've won one. This was a team that was voted by a lot of publications out there the best team in baseball, in minor league baseball, to start the season, and they look nothing like they did when the season started.
Right. They've had a lot of players moved in and out and had a couple players traded. Thomas Ajayi, our good buddy, he cleared 100 RBIs last week. I guess it was this week. He's
that done. May be the guy.
He is killing it. He's hit like 9 home runs for Springfield. He's having a great first, making a great first impression with the Cardinals organization. Good for him. I haven't checked on Acuna. Ronald had a tumultuous week as, you know, some fans came out of the stands in Denver to take a picture with him. And then the security guards tackled the fans into Acuna and he fell. This is according to Ron Washington, who I spoke to yesterday. And then Acuna went and got married yesterday in Los Angeles and then hit a home run to give him 30 home runs and 60 stolen bases.
It was a grand slam, didn't he?
It was a grand slam. First time that's ever happened in Major League history. So anyway, Frisco's a little different, obviously. Jack Leiter is off the developmental list, which is good. He pitched well Sunday over 3 innings.
Gave up a home run to the first batter and then just, like, look, lights out.
Didn't walk anybody.
Yeah.
And then the
struck out 5, I think.
4. Yeah. And then Trevor Halver's had a real nice summer. The player known as the one from the Joey Gallo trade, who is not in the major leagues, but if you look at his numbers, he's having a pretty good year. I think he's hitting around 260, 811 OPS. Let's see, I gotta do the math. 38 extra base hits. He walks a ton. He's got a 379 on base percentage. So it's probably not as happening as fast as he'd like it to happen, but he's had a real nice summer.
Okay. Let's go to Round Rock, where they're 34-20, 7-3 in their last 10. They lost a couple. Carter is up there now. He's hitting .500. Okay. We've already talked about him going into the weekend. Matt Bush got promoted up there. A couple other names that we know, Foscue, Wenzel, are performing up there. These are some names to watch who possibly might come up to try to help the big league team.
Especially
the arms.
Sandro Fabian, outfielder, has had a real nice season. Blaine Crim's had a great 2 months. Blaine Crim has been on a tear the last 2 months. And you look at where his numbers are, and they're right where they've been his whole career. Right. So at some point, you just got to think, all right, this guy's hit everywhere we've put
him. And he's a right-handed bat.
And he bats right-handed. It just seems like he can play third in a pinch. It just seems like he needs a chance. I just think that at some point, curiosity is going to kill the cat, and they're going to be like, all right, Blaine Crim, go do it. Now, he does start slow. He's kind of been a slow starter. It's shown
at each level
the last couple years. But he can hit, man. He can hit.
Well, the way he's hitting the ball now and the way he's grooving, maybe that is a bat that can come up here.
Hey, you know.
He can DH. Well, you got Garver that's doing it for right now, but that's a guy look, if he's going to come up here and come off the bench and pinch hit, then that's not the guy to bring up.
Well, right. I just think that
he's not on the 40 either.
Right. I mean, there are a lot of problems with Blaine Crim getting on the roster, a lot of obstacles to him getting on the roster, not problems. But, I would just be like, gosh. You know, we got to give this guy a shot. So anyway,
yep. Well, and it'd be easy if Mitch Garver wasn't doing what he's doing right now.
Yeah, Mitch Garver's can't got to keep him in the lineup.
Absolutely. So. Okay, so I think that's it.
Yeah, a couple things. Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yes, absolutely.
Subscribe to Rangers Today for $5.99 in a month, $60 for a year, $35 for 6 months. It's cheap. It's top to bottom coverage, as you just heard on the podcast. So give it a whirl. And,
yep.
And you know, if this season goes into October, a annual subscription will take you through spring training, I think, to opening day. So
yep.
Give it a well, yeah, an annual subscription. Yeah, 6 months will get you, I think, to spring training. So anyway.
Hey, big thanks to Dave.
Yeah, Dave's a good guy.
Guys, we're gonna be out there tonight. This is coming out. It is Friday, September 1st. So that's coming out tonight. The audio version video will probably be out Monday or Tuesday. Like he said, hit that subscribe button down below. But until next time, guys, we will see at the yard.